Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
It was quite a bit like elementary school recess at the first Republican debate in Milwaukee on Wednesday night as eight candidates took the stage, many of whom decided they were going to take the night to call the other candidates' names, point fingers, throw fits, try to dominate the stage, or call for outrageous things to be happening. It was a little bizarre on the part of Fox News, which asked seemingly only questions that the Democrats would want to ask in order to make everyone on the stage look bad, talking about issues that most Republicans don't really care about, in many cases just things that Democrats would push, things like climate change, stressing over abortion. I mean, my God, you might as well have brought MSNBC in to anchor the darn thing. They saved Chris Christie, did Fox News, when the audience was clearly booing him off the stage. Bret Baier turned around and tried to save Chris Christie. They also wouldn't stop Mike Pence from taking up way too much time and being the bully on the stage, just ridiculously attacking Vivek Ramaswamy. Nobody on the stage could say Vivek's name right, which was an embarrassment for all of them. And if I'd have been Ramaswamy, I think I would have turned the tables on him and called them all by their wrong name. And at some point, I think that the moment of the night would have been, listen, I'm here. You're all attacking me. At least know how to say my name. It's Vivek. And maybe call Mike Pence Mickey. And maybe call Nikki Haley Nike or something of that nature, because they can't say his name. That's pretty bad, and it should be pointed out. This was a free-for-all. Clearly, everyone was trying to make some sort of a Trump-like impression on Trump voters on this evening. There really was no winner or loser. A lot of people are going to tell you they won or lost. I guess by default, since there was not a lot of persuasion here, and don't allow me to persuade you. Whatever I thought about the debate or watched on the debate, don't. If you want to enjoy my thoughts and my interpretations, great, but please don't let me persuade you at this point about any of these people, and don't get the mistake that I'm backing any of them. At this point, I'm backing Donald Trump, and that's that. He's my guy. I'm standing by him for now. We're going to watch how this thing unfolds. It is a long, long, long deal, and but I have said on multiple occasions I want to win. I want to win. More than anything else, I want to win, but that will not involve Chris Christie. It will not involve Asa Hutchinson. That will not involve Burgum. And I did come away thinking, okay, nobody really won this thing, but if anybody gained something, I think the two people that gained were right in the middle. I think for Ron DeSantis, looking presidential but vanilla was, in a way, a win for him. I think the expectations were so low for him that he doesn't connect with people, that he's not a good politician, that he certainly isn't a good retail politician. I think all those things were found to be true on this stage, but he didn't find himself in a whole bunch of melees. He was not the one who was attacked. Normally the person who would be thought of as the front runner to Donald Trump here would be the one that was attacked, and that became Vivek Ramaswamy very early and very often throughout the entire debate. More on that in a moment. But because DeSantis wasn't that guy, and he wasn't the target, he got to state a lot of positions. He seemed professional. We know his record is outstanding, and we had mostly conservative and Republican viewers who know what Ron DeSantis has done in Florida, and they watched this, and they probably, my thought is they probably came away with, the only person I saw on this stage that I would be comfortable being president, other than Donald Trump, would be DeSantis. I don't think most people are there yet with Ramaswamy, and I don't think they're there in any meaningful way with any of the other six that were on stage. I just don't even think they're factors at this point, and we'll go over why in a couple of moments. So in that regard, if I had to pick a winner, and he certainly was not the winner of the debate, but if I think somebody is going to gain the most out of this night, Ron DeSantis is probably that guy. Man, he's vanilla. He just doesn't seem connectable, normal, regular person-ish, whatever it may be. It just isn't there. Ramaswamy clearly had a good night. He had a good night because he was able to introduce himself to a lot of voters that didn't know much about him. He became the attacked, which is automatically puts you in favor with an audience that doesn't really know you. If they don't know enough about Ramaswamy, if they are tired of Chris Christie, Nikki Haley's a warmonger, you got all these other things going on, You know, people would be watching going, who's this young guy? He certainly has energy. He's articulate. He's self-made. He was able to get that point across. He smiles too much. He seemed too happy too often. While he was standing there and people were trading barbs, he was laughing. It was his first time on stage at a debate. And I think he learned. And I think his consultants and the people with him will say, look, I know that was fun for you. I know you're 38 years old. This is all very exciting that you're becoming a celebrity and people are getting to know you and all those things. But calm down just a little. Don't smile so much. But because he was the one that was constantly attacked and because he was easily the biggest Trump supporter on stage, I think people probably were impressed by that. Look, the rest of the seven to Ramaswamy were get off my lawn. It was pretty clear they are completely and utterly threatened by the man. He is not a career politician. He has not been in D.C. He is not beholden to the military-industrial complex and all the people that make bombs and bullets and all those people. We saw that come through. He is self-made. And the rest of them, especially Mike Pence, looked foolish telling him to get the hell off the lawn. They called him names. They called him a rookie. They called him an amateur. They compared him to Barack Obama as a skinny, dangerous kid that with no experience. I think that's a winner. I think when Chris Christie is attacking you, that's a winner. Mike Pence is going nowhere in this race. He's going nowhere in the world. What Mike Pence doesn't understand is whether it's true or not, most Republican primary voters or caucus voters, will look at Mike Pence as not being loyal. And he's not overcoming that. So here we go. The only other person that really did anything outrageous on the night other than Pence, who took way too much time and seemed really grumpy and mean and pissy, was Nikki Haley, who clearly is not just a warmonger. She is a passionate warmonger that can't wait for more war with Russia and somehow is trying to get across the point that Russia can't beat Ukraine, but somehow they're going to come here and overtake America. I haven't figured that one out yet. Which the Democrats and the Nikki Haley's will tell you that the Russians are really struggling in Ukraine. A lot of people in Ukraine will tell you Ukraine's about to fall, that this thing will be over and won't make winter. We don't know. I'm not saying I know. Nikki Haley's making it sound like Russia can't beat Ukraine, but they're our biggest threat and they're going to come take us. I can't connect those two here. Boy, she got mad at Ramaswamy for wanting to end the war in Ukraine. And I'm sorry, I may be a terrible person, but I'm sitting there with Jessica. We're watching. I'm like, just give the land back to Russia. This is not the fight to fight. This isn't it. Give him that 100, 150 miles on the border that he wants. Those regions that he wants. Wave the white flag. Stop the killing. Sit down at a table. Negotiate it out and give it to him. And if it flares back up in a couple, 3 years, we'll deal with it then. But stop the killing. Stop the war. Stop this. Let's negotiate our way out of this. Not Nikki Haley. I mean, I feel like Nikki Haley lays her head on her pillow every night and wants our troops in Ukraine fighting Russia. This is what she's clamoring for. She wants a war. It's crazy. So here's your quick screenshots. If you had to put a name by any of them, I'm taking DeSantis and Ramaswamy out because I thought they were in the middle of the state. I just thought they were the victors on the night. So here you go. For the rest of them, Haley, warmonger. Mike Pence, mean old man. Tim Scott, I'd like him to be my neighbor. Doug Burgum, nice guy. Please don't be at the next debate. Asa Hutchinson, why? Why? Why is he there and what was that red thing in his eye? Oof. And Chris Christie, he's a Democrat plant. That's it. Chris Christie just seems like somebody the Democrats set there to set the whole thing on fire. And that's it. There is our takeaway from the first debate as the Republicans get together. Donald Trump, for his part, was on with Tucker Carlson on Twitter. There is misinformation, disinformation. I get the two confused. They're stupid new words that Democrats made up, so I don't really care. And immediately they said 74 million people had watched Donald Trump. This is not true. The Twitter views are not the same as people watching. If you're not on Twitter, and many of you aren't, because I have almost twice as many podcast followers as Twitter followers. So clearly a lot of conservatives in this audience do not like Twitter. I get it. I don't really like it. I follow some news there. I'd rather not post. I post the podcast every day and put it up. Maybe it helps, maybe it doesn't. I don't have any science to tell me otherwise. But when you scroll through Twitter and your phone stops and something, if it stops and I go, if I just stop to read the headline of Tucker Carlson interviews Donald Trump, if I just stop and read one sentence, the video starts playing. I don't have to hit play. It just starts playing. Plenty of people who never watched it stopped their Twitter feed on it and it started playing, and it maybe played for 30 seconds and they were out and moving on and going somewhere else on Twitter. That counts as somebody watching. I started and stopped it 3 times. I watched it. I skimmed it. I have a hard time watching an hour's worth of stuff on my phone. So I skimmed through it. And I start and stopped it. I opened it and closed it 3 times. That's 3, and I'm only 1 person. The ratio is much greater than that. The people who actually sat and watched it for an hour is a fraction of the 75 million they say immediately saw it within the first hour. There were all kinds of people on Twitter. 75 million people have watched the da da da. I'm like, no, that's not possible, because it was 75 million before an hour was up. It's just people scrolling through Twitter and people retweeting, thousands and thousands and thousands of conservatives saying, look, this is up, and retweeting it and hoping they'll come to their site and hit play through that. I don't even understand it. I don't understand Twitter, but those numbers are not right. 75 million people have not watched Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump. It's probably more like a million or two, which is good. It was good for Trump, and it was a fine interview, but that's what he did on this night. He did not, this is one of the first times, he did not steal the thunder from the debate. Really, the only way to steal the thunder from the debate would be to go on another channel and go up against it in the same type of media format and go do it that way and beat them in the ratings and then boast your chest. This one claiming you had 100 and some million, which they will eventually, viewers, is wrong. He won't have 100 and some million viewers. If they did view it, they maybe only saw 10 seconds of it. It's just not real. It's just not real, and that's the way it works. All right, Stan Weber's coming up in just a couple of moments. We'll preview the Chiefs and the Cleveland Browns, brought to you by Bstock.net, featuring, they've lowered the price. Not enough of you responded here. The Apple iPad, brand new, full warranty, in the box, sealed, was $319. They've lowered it to $299. These have to go. They got to go. They just want to give away iPads at Bstock. $299 is an insane price. They lowered it another $20. Gobble them up. You can get them online. You can order those online and have them shipped anywhere in the country. These are smaller items that are easy to ship. Bstock.net, the Apple iPad, brand new, full warranty, $299. That's crazy. They also have plenty of the 70-inch Samsung TU7000 TVs. These are 4Ks for just $399, just in time for football, with just a $25 delivery charge anywhere in Kansas City. Bstock.net is at 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Cross Kitchens is Kansas City's remodeler, online at crosskitchenskc.com. Call Tim Cross at 816-898-7047. You're going to love talking with him about whether the possibilities in your home, whether it's just countertops and floors, or you want to redo an entire floor of your house, they'll do it all. CrossKitchensKC.com. More than anything else, incredible customer service, strong Christian conservatives that you can trust, period. End of conversation. These are the people to go with if you're going to do some remodeling. CrossKitchensKC.com. The Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, for all of your needs as a hotel goes, whether it's just a one-night stay because you travel throughout Kansas on business, maybe you're in sales, maybe you have clients there, or if you're looking for an event, wedding parties, rehearsal dinners, receptions, business functions, group reservations available, call the Bluemont Hotel. They're online at BluemontHotel.com. Don't forget, Goolsby's is right there, the indoor entertainment center. Awesome restaurant, 30 taps on the wall with beers and seltzers. You pour your own. You pre-buy a card, you go up, you swipe it, and you pour your own, whatever you like. It's fun, it's unique, it's cool. Duck pin bowling, skee ball, we got all kinds of cool stuff in there. Indoor golf, batting cages, all at Goolsby's, part of the Bluemont Hotel Complex in Manhattan. And my buddy Brad over at the New Car Image, he sent Jessica a lot. I told you he gets... He's so particular how great cars need to look. He got a new vehicle. I don't want to go into too much great detail on Brad because I don't have his permission. He got a new truck from our friends at Roberts Robinson. He got a Dodge Ram over at their dealership, which is very close to the GM dealership. And when it arrived, he said, please don't take any of the plastic off. Don't do anything. Just take it off the truck and leave it there, and I'll take it that way. And then he took it home and prepped it himself for use. That is the best. That's how much he cares about his car, his new truck, or his vehicles, the new car image. He gives you the same treatment. He sent Jessica a picture yesterday of a license plate of a car in front of him who didn't stack the little stickers on their license plate where you put the year on each time. You know, each year you get a new sticker, and Jessica doesn't put them on straight, and so they look like they're on top of each other, and it drives him nuts. He found a guy who was putting the stickers all over the plate. They were just scattered around like spots on a Dalmatian. He's like, what is wrong with people? This dude really cares about what your car looks like. Probably, well, no question, more than you. But you can get his expertise by calling the new car image, thenewcarimage.com, 816-499-1470. You have a little bit of time left in August. He's offering 15% off for KKHI listeners. That is 15% off any services at thenewcarimage.com, 816-499-1470. All right, here we go. Stan Weber is going to do a little football preview here. We're going to talk about the Chiefs and Browns. So many topics. Chris Jones, Isaiah Pacheco is going to be on the field this weekend, it looks like. The backup quarterback situation with the Chiefs. We'll get into KU, Jalen Daniels. They won't even say exactly what he's doing in his workouts. K-State may have a breakout wide receiver emerging, which is a big deal. And Missouri will play both quarterbacks in their opener. It's all ahead with Stan Weber right now on KKHI. Hit it!
The KK Has Issues conversation is presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Stan joins us now. It is all football. Big weekend coming up here, the final preseason games in the NFL. Hello, Stan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Regular season college football this week. I can take some preseason, especially when you're watching your team. For me, the Chiefs, I want to know everything that's going on. So I've been getting by, but I'm telling you what, I'm looking forward to games on Saturday and then forevermore until February. It's football every weekend. So I'm very happy.
I haven't looked at the college schedule in about a week, but I think Notre Dame plays this weekend. Do they play the early weekend? Is that correct? Notre Dame's up first up this year?
Yep.
Okay, so
they play Navy over in Ireland, and then it really waits till after the Chiefs game pretty nicely. Like they schedule Chiefs at noon, ends at about 3, and then they're going to have 5 or 6 games right after that, Kevin. What's interesting is Caleb Williams, the Heisman Trophy winner at USC, is going to be on the field playing in week 0, except for he's going to be on the Pac-12 network, and hardly anybody's going to be able to see him. It's kind of the dichotomy of where the Pac-12 is. They have 5 teams ranked in the top 25, including Oregon State, including Oregon State. Can you imagine being an Oregon State fan, Kevin, excited for the football season, and then you know the Pac-12 is blowing up, so you can't be excited about anything in sports? So what a weird year it is for the Pac-12. They got NFL quarterbacks all over the place. They got good teams. But here's the dichotomy of the whole thing. Pac-12 network, hardly anybody's going to be able to watch. USC to play. They're big favorites, but we're not going to be able to watch hardly anywhere in the country. Welcome to what the Pac-12 ended up being. And otherwise, you know, you just have to have interest and want to watch some games, Kevin. You know, like I know Dana Dimmel at UTEP. I know Jerry Kill at New Mexico State. They're playing. I'll find a reason to love those games after I get back from the Chiefs game.
I was going to say, how do you balance that with the other NFL games that will be going on? Because you have obviously the package, you get to see so many different games, but you can watch a lot of replays of the NFL games and such on Sunday, and then there are more games on Sunday, and then there's a Sunday night game on Fox, I know, so it's a big football weekend and a whole bunch of college games, and you are next level football, man, okay? Like, I'm really into football, okay? But I think I'm a little, and this is not a good or bad thing, but like, I'm going to a concert on Saturday night. I'm going to see Turnpike Troubadours out at Sandstone. And so I know I'm going to be missing some college football for a couple hours while I'm watching that. But there is late night games. Please tell me that USC game is at like 9:30. That's a late night game, right?
I haven't checked it because it's on a Pac-12 network, right? And I don't necessarily think I can get that. Okay. So I'm going to check the schedule again.
Whoa. We got to stop the presses right there. You don't know if you get Pac-12 network?
I don't think I have in the past.
Oh!
Usually I'm not at home. Remember
oh,
this, Kevin.
That's right.
I'm not at home. When,
yeah.
It's not like I'm a TV expert on Saturdays.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm always out.
Pac-12 Network is a must for me. If I go to a game or if I'm doing something on a Saturday and, you know, Jessica's asleep 10:30, 11 o'clock, that Pac-12 Network's fire until almost 1 a.m., baby. I can just sit there and veg out. When the weather's nice, I sit out on my deck and watch Pac-12 Network. Are you kidding me?
Okay, good. I'm glad you have it. I might have it, but like I said, I'm not an expert on Saturday television options at my house because I'm never there. I'm getting ready for my 37th straight year of every Saturday being with the K-State
That's
Wildcats.
Right.
So I'm a little naive on that. I'll
my
come
bad.
Over to your house maybe if it's late. But yeah, I know it's bad, Kevin. Anything in excess, anything taken too far can be bad. And I definitely take sports and especially football too far. You do not want to follow me over that cliff.
we had a situation last year. We went to a Chiefs game. Oh boy, are we going down a rabbit hole here? We went to the Chiefs playoff. It was the Jaguars game, and we were going to be away for a while. And so we have this young lady who comes over and lets our dog out. And we it's pretty small ask, but we're like, can you just walk him around the block a couple of times, not just let him go out and pee and then drive away? Can you stay 30 or 40 minutes? We'll compensate you for your time. And, you know, feed him and whatnot. And she's like, absolutely. And so I literally changed the timer on my television. You know, you buy a TV, it has like a 4-hour timer on it, and it shuts off after 4 hours because they all want you to save energy. So we'd leave it on the Chiefs game for her because her plan was to come right at halftime and then, you know, take the dog out and do whatever. I reset the timers on all my TVs at 12 hours. So when the dog sitter comes, the game is still on. If you want me to go to the Troubadours concert Saturday night and leave my TVs on Pac-12 Network, they'll be running when you walk in. You won't even have to try to figure it out. I'll just give you the garage code.
Okay, that may be needed. The thing is, though, USC might be ahead 21-0 on three straight right. possessions. And Caleb Williams might be like a preseason NFL game, and he gets his 300 yards passing in the first quarter and he's out of the game. So it's not a must-see TV for it. It is worth noting because I know you got a good back porch, so I might be able to stand in the yard, not even bother the house, and be able to watch the game. I love that you changed your TVs because I just got a new B system, okay? And bstock.net went over there and bought a bunch of TVs, Kevin. You're familiar with that.
Sure.
So went over there. And the first thing I did when I put them in is change that TV setting that would turn off the TVs in 4 hours and said, no, 24 hours. Do not be messing with my game because I'm the idiot who will sit there for 15 straight hours watching football. And that TV doesn't think anybody would do that.
Yeah.
Saying, you haven't flipped it. You haven't flipped the channel yet. And they're like, no, do not turn off.
I don't think I've ever had a television on one channel for 12 hours. So mine's set at 12. So I think I'm good there, but I digress.
You'll be good.
All right. So
we're ready for football, baby. We're sick.
We are. We're going to get right to the Chiefs. I want to ask you, since you brought up Caleb Williams, we talked about Will Howard at Kansas State and the way he looks like Peyton Manning now, that he's mimicking what Peyton Manning did. And when you watch Caleb Williams, don't you see Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, he really is a different level quarterback with all the spice and excellence that Patrick Mahomes has. Everyone is accepting it now. The coach, you know, you throw a head arm, change angle, throw, and used to be the coach would just rip you a new one. You know, head coach, quarterback coach, offensive coordinator. The quarterback has everybody's ear, like, what the heck are you doing? And now they say, oh, that's a good throw. You're throwing right around that lineman's arm. That's pretty smart. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has allowed a whole new level of acceptability. Caleb Williams can bring it. You're right. And I think he's really, really good. Unlike this patch of quarterbacks we had into the NFL draft this year where we have big question marks across the board of will these guys be able to play? Richardson's going to start for the Colts, and he hasn't hardly started in college at Florida, and he wasn't a dominant player there. No, this guy's the real deal. Looks a lot more like Patrick Mahomes, and he's coached by the best offensive coordinator right now in college football in Lincoln Riley, the head coach at USC. Who went from Oklahoma. So, yeah, he's going to put on a show. He really is good. He's ready to be a pro, and he is mimicking a lot of things that Patrick Mahomes has made acceptable.
I think he's watched every single snap Mahomes had at Texas Tech and with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he's watched every single play that Patrick Mahomes has made. He's doing all those things. All right, let's get on with the Chiefs here. Noon Saturday, Cleveland Browns. We don't really care a whole lot about the matchup here. Chris Jones, obviously not in. I was wrong. I thought he'd be in. in order to go to Phoenix with the team last week to save the money that he's losing every single week. He's teasing that he won't be here until week 8. I don't know that I understand any of this. There's not been any really reports that it's been personal, but now it seems personal. This does not seem like business to me because the numbers don't add up. Chris Jones is losing too much money to be doing this for this to be business. This seems more personal, and Andy Reid came out this week and emphatically said there is no communication. There's nothing going on. How do you assess the situation with Chris Jones, and how badly do the Chiefs need him?
Well, it's a very surprising happenstance, the way it's all played out, because you thought that they could come together, find a way. There's value on both sides. Remember Chris Jones, everyone thought he was gone 3 years ago, Kevin, before he signed the contract that he's under right now and has 1 year left on. Everyone thought it was all over. And I said, well, wait a second. They can still work this thing out. And they did. So Chris Jones isn't the hardest head guy in the world and impossible to work with. So most people thought it would be worked out, but it hasn't been. There's some pressure points that are a little different in this negotiation than in others, in the fact that, you know, Tyreek Hill, he was traded. People had money to be able to use their salary cap and pay Tyreek Hill that the Chiefs didn't want to invest in, didn't want to try to pay that money for that long period of time. And the Chiefs said, we'll take a new look. And they converted them to defensive players. There are not many teams in the league right now, Kevin, that have any cap room. It's one of the big things. It's not like Chris Jones has all kinds of people knocking the Chiefs' door saying we want to trade, just like a Tyreek Hill trade. So that has been a little bit off the board, which made it seem like they're all going to come together, right? Everyone's been pretty calm about it around the country, but now you're getting close. We're within 2 weeks of the NFL season starting with the Chiefs kicking off, and Chris Jones doesn't seem to have any interest in being around or having communication. The Chiefs need him. They need him when, though, Kevin? It's so crazy to be overconfident about the Chiefs are. But the Chiefs are a team that needs to play great at the end of the year. So you need Chris Jones to be playing great in the playoffs. I hate to say I don't care how he plays in week 1 or 2, but I think the Chiefs are a guarantee to make the playoffs. And if you're hitting on all cylinders at that time, Kadarius Toney, remember last year playing great in the Super Bowl? He wasn't really a Chief much all year, but they had him at the end when they needed him. So that's when you really need Chris Jones. What is in play here? Well, there are a few things. One is Chris Jones is under contract. And if he sits out the whole season, if that was what he chose to do, he would still be a Chief for the next year. So that doesn't do him any good. Sitting out the whole year is not an option for Chris Jones. So that's when you spoke about week 8. If he comes in by week 8 and is a part of the Chiefs the last half of the season or so, he gets this credited to him as a season. He won't get all of his money for the year. It's not guaranteed or like that. He'll only earn what he gets for being there, a prorated amount. But it will count as his final year of the contract, and he can become a free agent. So I would say, no doubt about it, he'll be in by week 8, no matter what.
But the math doesn't add up. He'll never get that $11 million back. I mean, he's missing $11 million. If he does that, he loses about $11 million. It doesn't make any sense. Yes, he'll be a free agent next year and get a big contract, but he can get that anyway. It's still, no matter how you slice it, plus the penalties that he's incurred to this point, it's going to be $13 million that he's lost that he will never get back. I don't understand it.
That's why I think that's the end of the spectrum. We just have to, you know, lay it out there for everyone to understand what some of the forces are. They probably should come together. They probably will before the season. I think one of the things that hasn't been discussed as much, Kevin, and it's such an intense detail, you can talk about how much you're getting per year. Everyone's got that number in their head is following the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, but that's dumb.
Quentin Williams of the Jets just signed for $24 million a year. Okay. And he has a 5-year contract, but about $48 million is guaranteed. What we need to talk about is the guaranteed money,
right?
Not just the average per year.
Right.
And I think the length of the contract, I think probably the biggest argument, Kevin, is the length of contract. I think the Chiefs are saying, you got a late 20s guy, you know, 29-year-old or so player. We don't mind investing in him right now and paying him big money, but we just don't want to have all that money tied up when he's 34, 35,
right,
and those kind of ages in a 5-year contract. So they're probably offering him a good per-year amount, but for 3 years. And he's probably sitting there going, no, I want 5 years. And he knows they can fit it under the cap, and they're butting heads right now. Like, how badly do the Chiefs really need him.
And I think the Chiefs have made a powerful statement with Tyreek Hill, and I think they're going to make the same statement here. We have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. We really don't need you as badly as you think. We don't. And you could go out and hurt your knee and not or your back and not play all year, and we could still win the Super Bowl without you, and that is true. Those things are true. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are the team. Travis Kelce, I'll give him credit. He's a smart guy. He's playing for less than he should, but he recognizes, look, I'm a great tight end. I'm going to be one of the greatest of all time. That's how I'm going to be remembered, but I'm playing for less than my market value, but I like it. I'm here with Mahomes. I'm here with Andy. We could win another one of these things. Let's make some history. I'm going to make a pile of money after football no matter what. Kelce's looking at the big picture, and I think the Chiefs have created a culture around their team where they've said to the other 52 players, you're not Mahomes. We're not going to pay you extreme money. We're not. We'll just wave goodbye. And the Chiefs, if the Chiefs have Chris Jones for one more year, I'm not going to cry that that's the end. What a great run. What will that be? 8 years they had him or something like that. I mean, this is a great career in Kansas City. I'll wave goodbye to Chris Jones after this year, but he's under contract. My point of all this is, look, you're a money guy. You'll never get the $12 million back that you're pissing away if you wait until week 8. You'll never, no matter what you get in your next contract, you're never getting that money back. What kind of an agent would allow him to lose that money?
Well, that's well said, because we don't know that he would ever go down that path. So what you're saying is true. And I think the Chiefs can draw the line in the sand. A lot of people are worried there's no way the Chiefs can win the Super Bowl again with Chris Jones not on the team. Not true.
That's not true. Yeah.
That's just not true. And you got to, you know, I think the Chiefs have done a great job. They got a great culture. And I think that they're going to have to try to use all of that from Andy Reid. If Andy Reid gives someone a call, he doesn't get involved very often, but if he gives a call, he has a lot of juice. Remember when he got the phone with Travis Kelce and said, are you going to be the right kind of player? Are you going to mess this thing up?
Well,
you know, I mean, those kind of words, he can be powerful in this. And when Chris Jones sees the Chiefs playing on Thursday night, or if it gets close to the season, I think he'll probably say, I don't want to lose half of or any part of that $20 million. He's going to make 19 plus this year, Kevin. Not a bad contract. Remember, he's really only wanting $24 to $30 million a year. So $20 million this year, not that far off. Don't lose that money. I think it'll come in at time. But I think that the Chiefs ought to be very careful with him. Let's get back to football in a second. I think the Chiefs need to be very careful with him, Kevin, and ease him into the season. Don't get him hurt and put him out there too early. As a fan right now, as an analyst, don't count on him much against the Lions.
Well,
might play 10 plays. He's not going to be playing perfect
if he's in
football for a little while.
If he's in.
If he comes in Saturday.
And this is really tough. But I'd say this to the agent. I would say it. I'd say, listen, here's the deal. Guys, you're under contract. If I'm not mistaken, 2 years ago when the Buffalo Bills marched down the field in the playoffs and scored with 13 seconds left, Chris Jones was on the field for every snap. And the Chiefs didn't stop the Bills. With 13 seconds left, Chris Jones was not on the field for any of the snaps, and Patrick Mahomes went down in 13 seconds and did his thing. That's what I would say. We'd like to have you on this team, but you are not the difference in us winning and losing. You're just not.
Right. And at the end of the day, I hate to say it, but all the things that you said are true and will make some people mad because they want to say it's a team game and it's all 53 guys and all. And it just isn't. It's how your stars play. How does your coaching staff coach that matter the most? Really, I'm saying he needs to be in prime time, good physical condition at the end of the year. That's right. When you really need him. So we can sort through all of this. I think the Chiefs will keep their composure. And I think Chris Jones' calls from Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, other players, they're not going to force him to come in. But, man, he wants to be in, and he's going to be losing millions of dollars, like you said. He has reason monetarily to be in there, and he also, I think, wants to be a Chief. I just don't think he's going to be as much of a factor early in the season, and I think the Chiefs will be very patient with him and make sure he doesn't get injured because you can't get it. We talked about this in previous talk. You can't get in football shape without playing football.
I'm with you. All right, let's talk about some other players. Isaiah Pacheco, it looks like, will be on the field Saturday for the first time. He played in the Super Bowl with a broken hand and a torn labrum. He has not been here long. Chiefs fans love this guy. What do you expect out of Pacheco this year, and what's important about getting on the field for a few snaps in this last game?
Well, our last sentence that I said is still true with Pacheco. You can't get in football shape without playing football, and they don't tackle the running backs. In college or the pros, those guys don't get tackled anymore, Kevin. Quarterbacks don't get touched in practice. You got to get out there in the preseason and get a little bit of real football. So I think it is big. It's great for the Chiefs, timing-wise, that he's able to play. They wouldn't have forced this thing early. So we're very, very lucky that Pacheco's available for the Cleveland game on Saturday. I think he plays. I think it's very, very important. And he's going to give everything he has, Kevin. He's like these major league pitchers now. They throw the ball as close to 100 miles per hour as they can until their arm has something ripped, and then they go have surgery, right? I mean, that's pretty much a given. Otani yesterday hurt his arm. You know, he's not going to pitch the rest of this year. So those kind of injuries happen. And running backs, the reason why they're not so valuable is they just go and then they get smashed and fall off the end of the earth. They're good for a little while, and that's the end of it. And Pacheco, if he's the perfect example. He goes full speed every practice, every game, every play. He runs into people. It is crazy. It is not a long career mentality, but that's fine. He was, what, a seventh-round draft pick? Never thought he'd be a starter for the Chiefs. He's playing this exactly right. If he's only good for 2 or 3 years, man, be good for 2 or 3 years. So this kid has only one speed, full speed. It's big. He needs to get out there, because if you're going to have ball security issues, get hit early in football, you need it to be in a preseason game, Kevin, not regular season. I like that Pacheco is going to be out there. He's going to be begging for plays, but just get him some. Get him tackled. Get his ball security issues. Not that he's a fumbler. I'm telling you, when you get hit for the first time all the way to the ground, when you haven't done it in practice and you haven't done it in the offseason, it's a big deal, Kevin. Keeping a hold of football is hard. So I just want to see him carry the ball 3 times. Whatever it is, this is good for the Chiefs that he's playing. A big deal.
All right, let's talk about the backup quarterback. I didn't used to talk about this a lot, but after we saw what happened in the postseason last year when Mahomes went out for a series and the Chiefs went right down and scored a touchdown, it was pretty fun to watch. And there's a backup, or last week the backup was Shane Buechel, who checks the boxes of being a star in Kansas City, because if your dad was a Major League Baseball pitcher, then apparently you become a star in this town. He's got the same upbringing as Mahomes and Bobby Witt Jr. They're all from the Dallas area. Their dads all pitched in the big leagues. By the way, yesterday was a 23rd year anniversary. I don't know if you saw this nugget or not, Stan. 23 years ago yesterday, Bobby Witt Sr. threw a complete game for the Texas Rangers in a 9-1 win over the Minnesota Twins, where Pat Mahomes pitched the 7th and the 8th innings. That's crazy. And now we have Shane Buechel, whose dad pitched forever in the big leagues, as last week anyway, QB2. I loved it when they brought him in. If you believe in that, if you believe in my dad was an athlete, I've been around it, the game's not too big for me. I don't know how this guy was undrafted. He had the tools coming out of high school, was one of the highest recruited players in America, went to Texas. A lot of things break down at Texas. Went to SMU and just passed and passed and passed for yards and touchdowns like crazy. Is Shane Buechel going to be the backup quarterback here?
Well, not an easy answer to that question, I'll tell you. Because all the things you talked about are components that make him a prospect to be successful in the NFL at some level. At least as a backup, with Andy Reid teaching you around Patrick Mahomes, we believe that this could turn out to be a really good thing. Is he good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL? That's a whole nother step. But he's not a veteran who's been involved with it and done it before. So where do the Chiefs want to go? Do they believe in Blaine Gabbert enough, who may not have the upside potential to be a starter in the NFL in the future, like Shane Buechel? His upside is really unknown and maybe to a very high level. We know more what Blaine Gabbert is, but boy, the Chiefs and Andy Reid like knowing that you got a veteran quarterback who's been there before, been around the NFL a long time, and has played at this level. So it's going to be hard to say what the right answer is. The one thing that's different about this season is that teams might be tempted, Kevin, to carry 3 quarterbacks more than they were in the past. There's a new rule in the NFL that when you have your 45 guys of your 53-man roster, other players are practice squad, 53-man roster, but only 45 of them suit up on game day. So you have your inactives that are announced 3 hours before the game every week. You get to hear, like, who's not going to play. Usually there's guys who are injured. But in the NFL, they started having only 2 quarterbacks on their roster because they didn't want to waste a on a quarterback who wasn't going to be able to play. But the NFL got embarrassed last year when the playoff game, remember when Brock Purdy got hurt with the Niners? and then a backup quarterback got hurt, and Brock Purdy couldn't even pass and had to come back in the game because they didn't have a third quarterback. The NFL was embarrassed in a playoff game, NFC championship game, and you had a little league quarterback issue almost. We don't have a quarterback. So the NFL said, dear Kevin, that you can have an extra player, not count against your 45, be a quarterback, suit up, and be ready to play, be a third quarterback, but you have to put him on your 53-man roster. So will the Chiefs keep three quarterbacks this year and kick this can down the road? I kind of think that's what's going to happen. We have to decide who the backup quarterback is. That's important, but the fact is I don't think you have to choose between one or the other. It could change week to week.
Yeah.
Depending on injury, who's hot, I think both guys are going to make the roster. I think a 53-man roster is going to include three quarterbacks. One of them will be active, but the other one will be suited up, Kevin, and ready to go. He can only go in if the other two quarterbacks get hurt. We hope that would never happen. But I think the development of Shane Buechele can continue. And I think what they'll probably do is have Blaine Gabbert be the backup and suit up on Sundays in the NFL games, regular season, but Buechele will not be with another team. Not be picked up on the waiver wire and be a free agent after the cuts go down. I think they'll keep him so you can have your cake and eat it too.
They have to. They clearly cannot let this talented young guy go. And he's obviously very good friends with Patrick Mahomes. And we talked about quarterbacks copying quarterbacks. He's got a lot of the same moves Mahomes had. He's not Mahomes. He is not Patrick Mahomes. Do not get me wrong. But some of the things we've seen him do in the preseason, he's clearly learning those things from Patrick Mahomes on the practice field. And I think that's pretty darn exciting. Let's switch to college football. We're just a week out here. Kansas Jayhawks will open up. And, you know, the preseason player of the year, offensive player of the year in the Big 12 is Jalen Daniels, KU's quarterback. Yesterday, Lance Leipold, this is on Wednesday, Lance Leipold said, you know, he's doing some work, but we're really not going to get into what he's doing and what he's not doing. They do not want to talk about Jalen Daniels' health, and this is back-related. I guess we're to assume maybe he's going to get some snaps and play in the first game, but I don't know that I'm banking on that at this point. What do you make of the why is this story so underreported, and why won't Lance Leipold comment on the condition of this player?
Yeah, just add some question marks. And then when you talk about your back, of the many injuries, you know, you talked about Isaiah Pacheco and his injury with his labrum. I have experience with that, know a lot about it. You know, the thing that I don't understand, Kevin, is how back injuries work. I have all the years I've been around football, I cannot conceptualize in my mind the probabilities. Like, it's probably this, or this is how you work with that back. That spinal cord system is so unique. I have no idea when someone has back problems, what does that mean? Is it kind of minor and precautionary? Or is it something that flares up so easily that you're in big trouble and you can't even function? I know when some people have back problems, they can't even hardly stand up. I mean, what is it? You know he's not getting hit in practice. So it's not that, bumps and bruises. So I have no idea where this is going to go. Why do you keep it quiet? You know, it's interesting that usually coaches want to because they don't want to let the other team know what's going on. But you're talking about the Big 12 preseason voted offensive player of the year. But why they would withhold the information, I don't really know. It's not needed in this situation. It's not a big game. If this were before the Illinois game, I get it. But why they're keeping it quiet, I don't know. What does it mean? It just adds some question marks in my mind. It's concerning because right now this guy should be coming back and being on fire, ready to lead the team. They're so lucky that their backup quarterback, Bean, who they thought was going to leave, is actually coming back. He's on campus. They got a legitimate starting quarterback. KU football is going to be fine, probably even against Illinois. They're going to be fine. But you're talking about the preseason Big 12 player of the year. If you don't have that guy playing, it doesn't matter what your school's name is. That's a big deal if you have to go to your backup quarterback. So I'm really waiting to see how this thing's going to play out. And I don't have a lot of probabilities. You want to talk about many other injuries from your hands to your ACL? I could kind of guess with you, but right now I'm going, what's up with the back?
All right. At Kansas State, the wide receiving core for several years has been good, but still looking for that one real breakout player that maybe has terrific NFL potential, or, you know, that is just as the hands are great, the athleticism, the routes are perfect, the whole deal. I've been waiting quite a while to see that. They've had some guys kind of tease it, but not really completely close the deal on being 100% reliable as a standout number one wide receiver. There is a lot of talk about a young man named RJ Garcia, who was terrific in the Big 12 championship game last year. that he has turned the corner, stepped it up, and is about to be something else. What are you hearing about this receiver, and will he be the top target in Manhattan this year?
Well, RJ does have that explosiveness and that elite athletic capability. It's just getting his head straight and understanding exactly where he needs to be and the experience. K-State's counted on unbelievable experience and smart players. It's hard to say he's going to be the lead guy when Phillip Brooks is back for his sixth year, Kevin. Phillip Brooks has another gear in him. He's been a solid receiver. You know, he can go out and get you 40 catches or something like that. He's in the right place all the time, makes the blocks, never misses a check. He is really a good football player, not just a punt returner and kickoff returner. And he could take his game to another level. So there's a chance that he can still be the top guy. But RJ Garcia really has an explosiveness about him, a fluidness about him. He looks like wide receivers look in the NFL. And getting a catch in the game where he threw it to him in between TCU players at the goal line, and he made a catch, a big confidence boost for him. Just like Sky Moore, you know, catching a pass in a Super Bowl. Even though he didn't have an unbelievable year last year for the Chiefs catching the ball, you expect him to come back this year with more confidence. So RJ Garcia is a guy now that's all grown up. You know, he doesn't have Malik Knowles out there, Cade Warner, Landry Weber. Those are the guys who have been on the receiving core the last few years, Kevin, year after year after year with Phillip Brooks. You're going to have a turnover in guys. You got a transfer from Iowa who's also going to be a starter and do a nice job. But RJ Garcia has really upside potential. He could be a star, Kevin. And I think the mentality that he has, the patience he had, learning from the other players around him, has really given him a chance to be able to pop this year. It's not like he's going to work this year and be great next year. He has a chance to be great this year. You got to go out and prove it on the field. But he has experience, timing, confidence, and he does have athletic ability, and he's grown up a lot. And the opportunity's there. I mean, two of the three wide receivers that started last year have gone on.
And he clearly has a quarterback that can get the ball and put it in his hands. So there, you got that going.
Missouri. And looking downfield. I mean, yeah. There's no doubt. Will Howard, anything about Will, he's not looking to complete the 3-yard pass and get the ball out of his hand quickly. He has a mentality of, I'm going to look 20 yards downfield first and then come back. So K-State likes throwing the ball downfield with Will, and RJ Garcia could be a big factor.
At Mizzou, Brady Cook is your starter. Sam Horn is going to play. They've made this abundantly clear. They're inside a week. They play Thursday night, the 31st. Against South Dakota, and it will be very interesting to see if this is, okay, we're playing two guys, and somewhere down the road, maybe we're open to Horn being the starter, or is this Cook is the starter, and not unlike any other team, the backup's going to get into a game in mop-up or second-half duty no matter what. How do you see that?
The quarterback situation at Missouri is very interesting because you got a longtime starter who played injured last year and might be able to take his game up to another level. Yet a lot of people are just disappointed that the upside is going to be capped. Like, he's going to be okay, but he's not going to be a dominant quarterback. And in the SEC, can you get by with that? And Sam Horn might be that guy. And it is one of those situations where when you have the potential that a Sam Horn has, what a great athlete, already playing baseball for Mizzou effectively, also a football player that was considered a superstar. A lot of fans thought going into last season, even as a true freshman, that he'd be the starter for Mizzou. Well, it's hard to do. I'm not disappointed in him at all. I don't think about his upside being stopped at all. We saw the same thing with Skylar Thompson at K-State. You know, he started a little slowly, and people wondered, well, how good is this guy going to be? He was a recruit, Kansas City kid. What's going to happen? Well, he ends up starting in the NFL, so he's fine. But it takes a while to develop. Alex Smith, we know this can happen, and Sam Horn may be on that path. So they somehow have got to find out what they have in Sam Horn. And practice doesn't do it, Kevin. I just said, you don't get hit in practice. I know coaches love practice, but I got to tell you, games are different. And quarterback, you can only see what you really have in a quarterback when you have him in a game under pressure with good players on their side. You can't put them with the backups and say you know what's going on. You need a starting offensive line out there. They give you that extra time to throw in the pocket. You got to have the pressure of having good receivers and players who are talking in your ear. You know what you have when you have good receivers, Kevin? You think about the talent and the positives. You know what the negatives are of good receivers? They're coming back to the huddle and badgering you saying, I'm open. Throw me the ball. You know, it's the whole psychology. It's everything is hard. So Sam Horn needs to play in game situations to find out what he is. But it does take away from the probable position that Missouri is going to have. Brady's probably the better starting quarterback for 2023 for Mizzou. And I'm always a little nervous when you mess with that kind of stuff. This kid should be able to say, I'm healthy, I'm better, I know Drinkwitz system's better, we got a new offensive coordinator and more, I've studied, I'm ready to show the SEC what I can do as a healthy player, and the whole team should be behind it. But instead, the coaching staff's put in a bind, not their fault, they're put in a bind and say, we've got to see what the young guy can do. I mean, what happens if Sam Horn is, remember when Patrick Mahomes walked out and Alex Smith put together one of the best passing seasons in the NFL, the best that year, and the next year Patrick Mahomes starter because he's better, right? Is Sam Horn better? They got to ask themselves that question. They got to let him play. They got to make it seem like a competition. But this is dangerous times because if Sam Horn is just a developing, not ready guy and you're jacking around with Brady Cook and dividing the team and the fans and not getting great reps and momentum early in the year, Kevin, that could really hurt Mizzou. They can't mess around with this season. This is an important season for Drinkwitz.
All right. We like to finish with something fun. This is completely unrelated to football, but I asked Jessica this question yesterday. The Royals won. Bobby Witt hit a home run again, number 26. He's clearly he's a top five player in baseball now. He was not in the All-Star game, but the Royals have a superstar on their hand. Forget that part. We'll talk about that another day. The Royals are off today in Seattle. They're off. They played a day game in Oakland yesterday. They got to Seattle. They have the entire day to do anything they want. I said, what do you think Bobby Witt Jr. is going to do at age 23 in Seattle, one of the most beautiful places on earth? What do you think he'll do? And she says, oh, these kids today are nerds. He'll sit in his room and play video games. I said, no, it's Seattle. It's summertime. He's going to do something great. What do you think Bobby Witt Jr. is going to do on his off day today in Seattle?
I think he'll go down to the market and see where they're throwing fish and maybe catch one and kind of walk around the shops around there and do a little sightseeing, a little walk, maybe stop and if he has a favorite kind of food or something like that, maybe spend his time there. But there's kind of a touristy area that people may not bother him too much because Seattle's got NFL players and everything else. So I think he'll take a walk down there. It's the kind of thing you need to check the box on. He may have done it before, but it's fun to go down to the market and see if you want to buy something. And you've seen it many times where they throw the fish.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All that.
I'd save that for tomorrow. They're playing night games. So I'd save that for tomorrow and do it before I go to the ballpark. Here's what I'd do if I was Bobby Witt. Now, listen, I don't know who's golfers and who's not and what different things people do. I'd charter a boat. I'd get a captain. I'd invite my closest teammates to say, we're going out on Puget Sound. Let's go out on the water. Let's spend the day on the water. We'll load it up with some Diet Cokes or cold beers or whatever anybody wants. Let's go out on the water. I'd do that. I think I'd do that.
That makes great sense. I don't think about the water as much as you do, Kevin. Obviously, I think more about basic football. Now you're taking me to an extreme. You're opening my mind up. Thank you for doing this. I have broadcast a game at the University of Washington. And why is that relevant? Because every place has their unique things around the country, right? In the University of Washington, the unique thing is a lot of people come to the game on boats on the lake right next to the end of the stadium. So it is a beautiful sight. And that's not the only place. The baseball stadium and the football stadium are right next to each other, and the water's nearby there as well. So you're absolutely right. It is a big feature of Seattle. Every time I've been in Seattle, it's been 36 hours and I had a game. So I could go up to the Needle or I could walk down to the market and do a few things here and there, Kevin. I never had time to even open my brain up.
Here you go.
To be able to go out there. And I don't have the money that Bobby Witt does either.
That's right. That's the thing. And it's becoming his team.
That's the difference. I don't have the money that Kevin Kiesman and Bobby Witt have.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Why I didn't think about it.
Good
there
Lord.
It is. I figured it out.
No, you don't like to spend money like Bobby Witt and Kevin Kiesman like to spend money. That's a whole different deal entirely. This is clearly transitioning from Salvador Perez's team to Bobby Witt's team, and this is the kind of thing you do. Take the younger teammates out, the guys you know are going to be around a while, and go out on the lake for a day and spend some time. I think it sounds like, not the lake, the Puget Sound, it'd be quite a day. I know you'll have quite a day, and we are inside a week before the Missouri Tigers play. That's pretty cool. That's next Thursday night, and we got real football this weekend, Stan. Enjoy it. We always appreciate your thoughts and insight, buddy. You're the best.
Okay, Kevin, have a great weekend.
All right, as always, fantastic analysis from Stan Weber. Big football weekend coming up, and Stan was brought to you by North Kansas City Dental. Dr. Bill Bush should be your new dentist. It's really simple, folks. Make the switch. Why not go with a great conservative patriot American who's also just happens to be the best dentist in Kansas City. He's the dentist to the Chiefs players and staff. He can be your dentist as well. North Kansas City Dental has two locations for you, north of the river at Armour and Swift and West Plaza in Westwood, Kansas. Call 816-471-2911 or log on to nkcdental.com. The Finch Knife Company proudly designing great American pocket knives. Every single series they have is an homage to something about America. American exceptionalism, American tradition, patriotism. It's all right there at FinchKnifeCo.com. See every series online at FinchKnifeCo.com or visit Shields in Overland Park, The Bullet Hole in Mission, or Teague Tractor in Belton. Earth Effects Outdoor can be your new landscaping company for all your needs, whether it's regular service or you want to build something really cool. Maybe you need some outdoor lighting, hardscapes, fire pits, outdoor bars or kitchens, berms, trees, ponds, water features, retaining walls, or if you have a drainage problem. Earth Effects Outdoor can help you with any of that. Call Daniel Hanks and his team at 816-478-7700. Online at eeoutdoor.com. And of course, the weekend is coming up. Amini's Galleria would love to see you this weekend at 105th and Metcalf. This is Amini's. The outdoor furniture sale continues with up to 72 months zero interest on outdoor furniture. They also have rugs, game room items like pinball machines, shuffleboard, pool tables, golden tee, hot tubs, saunas, bar stools. You name it, guys. This is your toy department. It's Amini's, 105th and Metcalf, also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. This is Amini's. Great stuff. My favorite kind of podcast. We had a Republican debate, and we talked football right here on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.